Conversations about race aren't easy. Another subject that many people shy away from? Sex. For parents of young children, explaining how babies are made is difficult but unavoidable discussion. There are templates of sorts. You can go with the birds or the bees, or maybe when a mommy and a daddy really love each other very much, or perhaps the more direct route, that men have penises and women have vaginas. But at a time when more and more children are adopted or parented by single-sex couples or conceived through surrogates, and our understanding of gender is becoming more flexible, is there a more creative way to explain where babies come from? Well, one new book has a different approach, answering the question without any gendered terms at all. Corey Silverberg is a sexuality educator and author of What Makes a Baby. It's the first book in a series that teaches young readers about gender, sexuality, and sexual health. Corey, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks so much for having me.
So where'd you get the idea to write a book like this?
Well, when I grew up, actually my mom was a children's librarian and my dad was a sex therapist, and I grew up in Canada. And so I had all these, you know, I had all the books that were available about where babies come from and about sexuality, but none of them really fit for me. I was what now we would call a gender nonconforming kid. So anyway, so I grew up and I kind of always knew that the books that were out there weren't enough. They weren't for everyone. And then all of my friends started having kids, and a lot of my friends are transgender. And there's a specific family that I really wrote. The first version of this book was written for a specific family that was a trans family. The dad was trans. The mom wasn't. They had a four-year-old, and they were having another baby. And I was very close with the four-year-old, and he started asking questions. And as you already said, all of the books that are out there, they, you know, pretty much they say, well, you get a sperm from your dad, an egg from your mom, and they're the two people who raise you. And they describe a family that more and more is not, I mean, you know, it's a smaller and smaller part of the world of families that we have. Mm. So Beto's dad asked if I would, you know, he knew I was always talking about, oh, one day I'll write this book. And he said, you know, could you just get on it and just do it? And so I did it. I wrote a story that worked for them. And of course, what happened over a two-year process of writing and rewriting is we discovered that it kind of works for everyone.
Well, let me ask you how it works, because I'm thinking that, mm-hmm. you know, whether you're adopted, whether your parents right. got you through some sort of surrogacy or technology,
right.
I mean, those kids
exactly.
can feel kind of left out of the equation that if there's a mommy in it, when a daddy really loves a mommy.
Right, exactly, right. And even, like in this case, my friend's children, they have a mom and a dad, but the sperm didn't come from the dad. Which can be true for trans families, but as you said, I mean, it can be true for a lot of straight families, too, and a lot of, like, you know, cisgender families, I guess, non-trans families. So the way that we do it, the big difference is, number one, as you said, you know, we don't talk about moms and dads. My approach as a sex educator is to try to figure out what we can say that's true for everyone. And in 2015, what we can say is, you need an egg, you need a sperm, and you need a uterus. And we can't say much more about where those parts are, where they come from. So the way our book works is that we talk about what you need to make a baby. There's a lot of, like, beautiful illustrations of families and love. But what we do is we actually leave it to the parents to actually tell the story of how the sperm and the egg came together, and if they want to share whose sperm and egg that was, right? So it might be this, you know, a very simple story of, like, well, it was your mom and your dad. Or it might be that Uncle Jack helped us. Or it might be that we tell a story about a doctor that helped. What I discovered was a lot of families that are using reproductive technologies, you know, that aren't necessarily using surrogates per se, that might be even using their own sperm and egg, but that they are actually interested in telling their kids the fact that it wasn't easy, right? One of the problems with a lot of these books is it makes it seem like it's the easiest thing in the world to have a baby. And the truth is it's actually, as a lot of us know, it's not the easiest thing in the world.
Well, you did work with this illustrator, Fiona Smith, and the art is just delightful.
I love the
sperm and the egg each come with their own stories. And there's kind of
right.
all of these illustrated stories
right,
inside
right, which is
of
DNA.
Them.
It's our idea of DNA.
Right. But there's also, yes, the beings, like, they're absolutely gender neutral. It's like some
right.
people have uteruses, some people
yeah.
don't.
Yeah. We even kept it, I mean, the language that we use is sort of some bodies have and some
bodies
don't.
That's it.
Because, and I should say that at the end of the book, we see people who are very clearly gendered. So it isn't about, like, taking gender out of life. But the truth is that sperm and egg, even though of course we think of sperm as male, and often you know, in other books we see them, the sperm wears a bow tie and the egg is wearing a tutu. But the truth is that sperm and egg are not gendered, right? They're cells. They're cellular. Gender is something that people have. Gender isn't something that our cells have. So, you know, this has been my approach for the past 20 years as a sex educator, is I just try to take gender out of where it doesn't need to be. And the other thing I'll say is that little kids don't have a problem with this. Like, there are some adults that maybe have a little, they're not really sure about the approach. In our experience, like, this is, makes perfect sense to little kids.
Well, I wonder, okay, so you talked about the essential role of parents or whoever is reading this book to children having to take a role in the explanation, right?
Yes.
But kids are used to looking at all of those books where the feminine is wearing a tutu or,
right,
you know, the man is wearing a bow tie. So is it confusing to them to see bodies without, you know, I don't know, they make the women's lips bigger or breasts or
hair.
Or whatever?
You know what? So In our experience, now this book is written for 4 to 6 year olds, and so the younger the kids are, the less confusing it is. Because, you know, we aren't born with some hardwired understanding of sex or gender. We may be born with some aspects of it for ourselves, but we don't have a, you know, social understanding of what gender is. It's something we learn. So the older the kid, the weirder this stuff looks, because they are expecting, as you said, they're expecting certain, you know, hip-to-waist ratio. They wouldn't know it, but they're expecting it. But with really young kids, we found that with these illustrations, they just kind of fall into it, partly because it's also a little bit magical. Like, Fiona's not older. She's near my age. But
that's the illustrator, Fiona Smith,
yeah. And the style is a little psychedelic, but I think that's fine. I think that, you know, as an educator, again, when it comes to sex, we often think we have to be totally scientific because we're kind of nervous about the subject. But, of course, making babies is actually magic, right? If you, I don't know if you have any babies in your life, but like I do, and the fact that we humans can make a baby, it is a total miracle, and it's totally magical. And the idea that we have to explain it in a way that is dry and only scientific didn't appeal to Fiona and I, and in fact, we found that the kids love it. So young kids have no problem with these kind of like bodies that almost look like trees. But certainly adults do sometimes, and you know, that's fine. It's,
well, I wonder about the adults, because here, I know you're in Canada, but this book is selling briskly in the United States, and
here in the
U.S., there are a lot of cultural debates over what is gender, binary, conforming, heterosexual. Have you had outright resistance to this book?
Yeah, absolutely. There are people, so the one thing with this book, as I think you said this in the opening, we don't ever reference moms and dads.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't do that not because we have a problem with moms and dads. I have many moms in my life and I love them. But because not everyone has both. And certainly not everyone uses those names for them, right? And some people don't have either. And we want, you know, I'm a sex educator. I think that the kid in foster care who's actually having a pretty tough time in the world deserves exactly the same kind of sex education as the kid with the normative family that has all the resources and has a mom and a dad. And, you know, So the fact that we took the words mom and dad out in order to be more inclusive was something that that some people really don't like. And also some people don't like the fact that we say that some bodies have eggs and some bodies have sperm. We don't say women have eggs and men have sperm, because the truth is not all women have eggs. And that's not just an issue of trans, you know, trans bodies. I'll point that out. There are also some women who are born women who everyone would, you know, doctors would refer to as women, who actually have no viable eggs.
Right.
And the way that traditional sex education is done shames those women and tells them that they're not real women. And that's part of, even though my focus is on trans inclusion, you know, the way that we talk about sex and gender actually leaves out a lot of people. So that's my little argument. But to answer your question, some people are not comfortable with it. Some people are not comfortable. They don't want to they don't want to accept the reality, which is that there's way more than two genders and more than two sexes, and that's fine. I mean, I am Canadian, as you said, and I have no interest, I'm not really pushing an agenda. So I think the book works for everyone, but it won't be for everyone.
Well, Corey, thank you for speaking with us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Corey Silverberg is a sexuality educator and member of the Come As You Are Cooperative and author of What Makes a Baby. That's the first book in a series that teaches readers about gender, sexuality, and sexual health. The more recent addition to the series, Sex is a Funny Word. You can find more about both books at wordofmouthradio.org.